Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right. National Signing Day is this week.
That's right. That's right. Muskegon probably had like all the kids on the football team went to college.
It looked like. Yeah. I went up for the ceremony. It was nice.
Okay.
Was really, really nice, man. 12 kids.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
12 kids. Of course, we know LaDarius going to state.
That's right.
He hasn't wavered, regardless of all the negative publicity. He's still committed solidly to go to Michigan State. Western. Got the AJ.
Fair State. Jefferson.
Fair State. Jefferson. And
Shanks.
And Shanks.
Lockdown.
You know what the deal on Shanks was?
Basketball and football, right?
Basketball and football. That was the hook. Because, you know, Alabama has shown interest in Shanks, man, in both. Alabama.
Nick Saban?
Yes, sir.
He remind me, you know, Nick Saban used to coach at State. And Bo remind me of this guy named Eric that played like strong. He got big in college, though. Like, he played strong safety. He got real big in college. He started out like both sides, but they moved to strong safety. And he played with Nick Saban era when Tony Banks was the quarterback.
Oh, okay.
And Eric was nice. Eric was a killer.
Yeah, yeah, well, you can thank Mr. Basketball. Name escapes me.
D-Thor, Deshaun.
Yeah, he kind of opened that door for him.
That dual threat where you can be. But it's hard work, though. It's not easy. Your life is consumed.
It is. And so for some guys, that's what they need.
That's what they need. Deshaun needed that.
Some guys need that.
Deshaun.
It will not be a detriment.
Sure won't.
Okay? It keeps him totally occupied.
And the shine is there for you if you want it.
Right.
So you're getting all the shine you need and the love you need because your ability making room for you.
Yep. So that was a great event, man. So we had Jefferson going to
Ferris.
And then we had one kid going to the Ivy League.
That's right. Meechie. I call him Meechie.
Yep, going to Ivy League.
Yep, going to Ivy League school. Then Big Eli. Eli.
A&M.
Yep, and he was set on Division I, and they came late. A couple of Division I's came late, and a Missouri school. And Alabama. I like Alabama. I'm glad he chose that.
Yeah.
Because at first he was getting all D2 offers. Okay. Everybody talking about his size or whatever. I'm like, that dude is.
Oh, he's a beast, man.
Man, he would hold a wall up. If a wall get in his way, that kid would hold a wall up. Okay. So
he's going to do well. He is going to do well.
Yes, he is.
And that was great. Had a couple kids going to Mount Union.
That's right.
Who's in Division II. They are the perennial champions in this country, Mount Union.
So they are Division II?
Division II.
So that's full ride scholarship then.
Full ride.
They got some money.
Yeah, and they go into a stellar program.
Yeah, I thought they was
did. National championships.
So they getting some money then. They get full ride. It's like Ferris. They get the check.
They getting full ride.
They getting the check. Them kids. That's what I say. That's what it's all about with me. So sometimes you say I'm playing. Oh, are you getting the check? When you say Division II, the check is coming.
That's it.
Cause I know Division III don't give you. If you got good grades, they pay for you. They might have a little money for school, for basketball or whatever, but they don't have a full ride.
Right.
But the Division II, they pay for everything.
Yeah,
so that's good.
The financial package.
That's right. That's what they call it.
Some scholarships and some grants and what have you. So at the end of the day, the main thing is that they get to go play and not to pay.
That's right.
That's it.
Continue. My boy Taylor.
Yeah.
Yep. My boy Jamal, little brother. That's right. I'm proud of Taylor.
Good kid, man.
Developed into a player, man. It's like
very
a little bro.
Man. So, yeah, we're happy for our Big Reds. Moving on. Pistons.
That's right, Pistons. Blake Griffin.
Trades, man.
Blake Griffin, who that Doc Rivers' son, acted up on everybody. Got Chris Paul out of there and Blake Griffin.
Cleaning house.
Austin Rivers, the franchise.
Yeah.
Sorry, self. Man, he's scared off Chris Paul and Blake Griffin.
There you go, man.
DeAndre Jordan next.
That's what I'm thinking, man. So, it looks like they decided they're going to go in a different direction. And with the Clippers, they're watching. Maybe they're looking across the aisle over there with the Lakers. They see all that youth.
Yeah, they do.
Man, let's unload these old dudes. They only got 2 good years left anyway.
But did they do this? Because I know things be going on so quick. Blake Griffin got a statue outside of the Clippers organization, right? Outside.
Didn't know that.
He got a bus or something. And they told him when Chris Paul left, this is you. We'll never trade you.
Oh, okay.
So it's something that's highlighted like that. Yeah, it's business, I see. They promised him. They gave him everything and traded him.
Well, that's how it goes. All
right. He a poor man Karl Malone to me anyway. So.
Yeah. Yeah, he okay.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's not a superstar.
He's not Karl Malone. He a poor man Karl Malone.
Yeah. And talking about trading these Cavs, I watched them play the other night. And
they're in the 40 and over league.
It's pathetic. Come on, dudes. You guys got to try.
Yeah, they like.
Orlando beat them by 20-something. They up 20. They had a lead of 20-some-odd points on Orlando.
You know what it is?
They got beat by 20.
They just want to play offense.
They don't even do that good. That'd be okay. You
know, my boy LeBron. LeBron looking on the bench like, help. Get me out of here quick as you can.
It's pathetic. I don't know what it's going to take. But they don't have that look. Like, they're going to be no champions this year.
Man.
So we'll wait and see. You know, today's we're doing a tape delay, but the trade deadline is tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
So
it's going down tonight. It's going down tonight then. Watch. And,
you know, a lot of the teams are stumbling now. I watched the Raptors handed to Boston last night. The Toronto Raptors.
They just need that break. They need that all-star break.
They crushed them, man. I watched OKC crush. The Warriors.
Yep, they and, did.
Draymond Green is about to get a huge suspension.
Yeah, he acted a fool.
He went after that female referee.
That's right.
And unfortunately, in this day and age, cameras are everywhere. You couldn't hear him, but you could definitely read his lips about what he said about that female referee, and it wasn't nice. So I expect the league to come down hard on old dude in the next couple of days, man. But, yeah, Super Bowl. It was past week Super Bowl, which was one of the better Super Bowls. Kind of went down to the last possession. Patriots went down in a blaze of glory. But the Philadelphia Eagles came to win, man. That was a good game with a backup.
Yeah, they did.
Backup quarterback.
From Michigan State. He was a backup at Michigan State.
He spent some time at State.
Yeah, he was there.
What's his name? Foles.
Nick Foles.
Yeah. So now, he's in a position where he just won a Super Bowl, MVP. Coming next year, he'll be the second string quarterback because Carson Wentz is the starter. So, you have to make
a
decision.
All right? Man.
Take this guy and try to move him and get him some trades, some picks, or do we keep him as a backup? Is he willing to stay as a backup? Because, yeah.
I can't stay in no backup if I'm a Super Bowl MVP.
There you go.
How I look on the bench?
Somebody
got to
sit the bench.
How I look on the bench? I won the Super Bowl for us because he was not throwing no wounded ducks, I tell you that.
No, the
guy. Them passes was on the money.
Yeah, he played a great game.
Everything he did.
That's the backup.
That wasn't no Baltimore Ravens type of championship.
Yep.
Where the quarterback could just stood back there and be the Flacco. Yep. My back hurt. I'm just going to pitch it to somebody.
That's going to be interesting, man, to see how
he's
aging.
Man.
Backup, he's got to be one of the highest paid backups ever in the history of football. Keep him on the bench. And then the other part of that Super Bowl was New England holding out the MVP of that would be Super Bowl 15 when Seattle on the 2-yard line.
Yep.
Decided not to give the ball to Marshawn Lynch.
That's right.
And threw the pass and Melvin Butler. The Butler did it, picked it off, and sealed the victory. But unfortunately, he never got to play only one down in the game on Sunday because the coach made a coaching decision not to play him, which has never been explained to why you take a star player who's played 98% of the season and you set him out in the Super Bowl. And Philadelphia had a field day in their secondary.
They man.
Spread that secondary, man. So, you know, Bill
Belichick. Yes, they did.
Overcoached it, if there's a personal vendetta, but to this day he has never really truly explained why that kid set the bench. But it cost him a Super Bowl. So explain that to the ownership.
Will you plan a loss for something else?
I don't know, man. Maybe one day the story will be told because now Matt Patricia, who's their defensive coordinator, is the Lions' new head coach. So maybe that story will come out one day. Whose decision was it? as a defensive coordinator, you go to the head coach and say, hey, wait a minute, man. I need this guy on the field. Or once that decision is made, you as defensive coordinator, say no more. Interesting. I don't know, man. And the last thing on sports, and we'll move on to our topics today, was everybody knows about Super Bowl and the amount of money that's bet on the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Billions of dollars legally and illegally. I mean, they bet on things like, you know, what's the color of the Gatorade, what's the coin flip, how long the national anthem going to last, and all kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, the major betting line is who wins the game.
That's right.
And the bookies got killed. There was hundreds of millions of dollars. Because, you know, I told you in last week's show, there was a guy that came in and put $1 million down on Philly to win.
What's the odds? 10-1?
He probably collected about $1.5 million. Because, I mean, on the point spread, he made a good payday. But they got cleaned up. All his money came in on Philly, man. And the bookies never moved that margin from 4 points. Hundreds of millions of dollars was paid out. They took a bath, which is okay. They've been beating people for years on this Super Bowl betting. So it's about time the general public got some of their money back.
Man, that's a lot of money.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
So they thought Philadelphia didn't have a chance.
Well, at one time, you know, those Patriots was coming back and actually took the lead, and they might have stood up if that interception didn't take place. But it happened, and we're done with football officially. So it's all about the NBA.
That's right.
From this point forward.
NBA.
NBA. Another topic we want to hit is the stock market this week. A lot of folks have got the jitters because of the...
Oh, the dip, the 1,100-point dip.
Turbulence. It's called turbulence in the market.
It's supposed to happen, though. Like, you got the corporations getting the big tax breaks. You got the changes coming with the voting when they locked up the Congress. All that is...
Well, I'm going to tell you what one of the key factors in when you watch the stock market. You look at what an unemployment looks like. You look at what jobs have been added to the economy. You look at the gross national product. You look at unemployment. All these key indicators were good. They were all green. So then you say, well, why would the market correct itself? Because we have relied on computers for the most part to make trades. So investors set a high and a low mark for stocks, okay?
Yep.
If this stock reaches a certain point, I want to sell it because I've made a fair amount of money. And because it's at an all-time high, chances are it'll probably go down at some point. And the same thing happens when it's low. If it gets to a certain point, the computer will automatically trigger a sale order. So what happened is the market was on such a tear that all these stocks hit these high marks and basically triggered these sale orders that were automatically set. So the market just went into a frenzy. It's never happened before. Because, again, all the key indicators said there's no reason for this type of correction because everything is good. Interest rates are good. Unemployment is good. Manufacturing is good. Job growth is good.
All the indicators was up.
Yeah. But because we rely so much on computers in our trading, they automatically kick in and started this unloading of shares. So, yeah, there were people that still made a lot of money because they sold these shares at an all-time high.
You're right.
But yet, the adverse effect was it hurt some of those that were, you know, people that rely on for their 401ks. But ultimately, in the big picture, the big scheme of things, you're still okay. You've made a lot of money.
Markets make dips.
You still got to stay in there. Unless there's some horrendous correction to the tune of 30-40%, which says the market loses half its value. And if that happens, we're headed for a recession anyway. Okay, so this is a temporary correction, and I truly believe that the market will become more steady over the next couple of days. You won't see the volatility that we've seen the last couple of days. So I'm still in, and I will be in, because I think it's only temporary until I see key indicators that indicate that we should be doing other things with our money besides investing in the market.
That's right.
And we got one topic, and we'll get on to our show, which I think with tax time, we always realize that.
Oh yeah.
Go out and buy cars.
They advertise them. They advertise. I done got so many phone calls, man, about my vehicle. I'm like, my vehicle paid off. Like, what do you want?
Yeah.
I'm still driving it. I don't owe nobody nothing. All I'm paying is insurance to ride in it. I'm good.
I don't know why they call you. Okay.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of folks that get these calls.
And they act on them.
Take advantage of them. Okay. And give us a scenario of what a car deal would look like in your opinion if it's not through your normal channels of
like
acquiring
the,
loans.
Okay. Normal channels of acquiring loans through your actual credit union, through the, if you got GMAC financing, that's good credit. Dodge, Daimler, Chrysler, you know, top of the line financing. When you come in, you got zero financing for 60 months if you're getting a brand new vehicle, or if you're getting a lease where you got a $99 lease. To, what's advertised if you walk in? That's what I'm trying to get. What is advertised?
And the other thing they do is they look at the vehicle and they tell you how much it's worth as far as a loan is concerned.
That's right. Yep.
Because there are certain lending institutions that don't look at it that way.
They only allow a certain amount of money to certain people, too.
Right. So if you go and you look at a car in the Blue Book, say, well, this car is 10 for 10 grand, and you want to finance 13 grand, credit union say, well, why are you paying 13 grand for the car?
When that's right. 10? That's when your bank going to step in and say, Tyson, it's not a good deal.
See, a lot of other lenders won't look at it that way. Some lenders will say, oh, you want 13? No problem.
Yep.
We'll give you 13. And give you that stretch loan.
Stretch loan. And stretch loan is a loan where they tell you that your money's upside down, basically. And you look at it where you get a payment, you get the payment you want, but for a longer time. See, a lot of times people look at payment. I look at it debt. If I'm carrying a debt for a longer time period, that's not a payment I want.
60 months?
60 months is 6 years. You got 6 years of paying a vehicle off.
Yeah. 5 years.
Yeah, five to 6 years. Yep.
5 years.
Five.
Come on. And if you get a car that's got 130 grand on it, right?
Yep, miles.
And then you're going to keep it for 5 years. And if you drive, what, say 20,000 a year maybe?
Yep, 10 to 20. Average that day. In Muskegon, people, if you're driving in Muskegon, you probably go to Grand Rapids, Detroit. I know I've kept under 10,000 miles a year.
Okay, we'll be conservative. We'll go with 10,000 a year, which is for at least that's probably what they expect. So that's 50,000.
For 5 years. So now you got 200,000 miles.
Over 200 grand, 200,000 miles on a vehicle.
So you're going to be another car. You're going to have to buy another car.
Most definitely.
In 5 more years.
Yeah. And what is, you know, when you've paid, how much for it? The Blue Book, you say, was... 13.
And then now you're paying probably 21,000, 24,000. It depending on how they got you upside down on the loan. So you're probably paying $25,000. You're paying at least $10,000 extra. Would depend on $7,000 to $10,000 extra if depending on your interest rate. And if they getting you like that, when they just getting you on a payment, you happy just making a certain number.
So be wary. Be mindful of the monthly payment.
And don't act like it because you got the down payment that you got the payment. You don't. You don't. If you because the tax is not a windfall for a long time. The taxes disappear. If I was you, I'd invest my taxes and save it, and then I'd just find me a car I can buy. If I got a big tax refund, I'm trying to spend $5,000 on a decent car that lasts 2 or 3 years, and I just keep on coming back 2 or 3 years. That's where my money is. That's what I would do.
Absolutely. Yeah, because you still got insurance, right?
Yes.
You pay that when you're talking about that monthly note.
And then now the insurance is banked by your credit score already, so you don't want to get tore up like that either.
I've seen them. This is no joke.
Man.
I've seen them buy the car, man, and the insurance is more than the car note.
So what,
talked about
that. Yeah, so what they do, they just let it sit, and they be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
They let the insurance flop so they can just ride the car.
Right.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, but then, you know.
Now you got a weapon. Now you just like riding with a gun.
It is.
Because if you use that car and you don't got insurance on, you kill somebody, you out of there.
It's not going to be pretty.
Not going to be pretty.
To be mindful, time of the year of dealerships that do pray and take advantage of folks that's only looking at that monthly note and not looking at what the total expense is for this car over the course of the loan. And just be mindful. It's going to be a lot of money you spend for a car that's probably not worth it at the end of the loan.
Right.
So I think we're going to finish up on our tax.
They have new tax laws coming in. They're in effect right now. We're using them. Actually, like I know Donald Trump talking about your paycheck going to be bigger.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay.
But some people will, some it won't.
I seen somebody check me $1.50 bigger. It was $1.50 to somebody. One of them Republicans said his secretary check was $1.50 bigger. She should be happy about that. I can't remember the guy's.
It'll be bigger, but he didn't say how much.
Yeah. She's like, when I check $1.50 bigger, not $1.50 hour, $1.50 on a gross income.
Gross. Come on, man. That's a joke.
But the corporation's making it big. But I tell you, I used to live in Detroit. The GM people getting $11,500. The sad thing about that is, if you live in a certain neighborhood, somebody know you get $11,500 because you don't buy nothing. They coming,
And that's a one-time hit versus giving an increase on the hourly, right?
That's right.
Yeah, if you really want to help a guy out, bump his hourly rate up $1.
That's right. Okay. Don't give him $11,000 in one lump. Ooh. That mindset gonna blow it.
Yeah.
He's an employee.
No, give him $1 because at the end of the 40 hours a week, okay, it won't take you long to recoup that grand, and you still get that dollar raise every week.
That's right.
So, but I guess they look at it as better than nothing.
If they give that $11,000, they don't have to change the structure of how they hire their employees and the union and all that. You know that?
Compensate them.
Yeah.
One-time write-off deal.
Yep.
You don't have to carry that year-long and all the next year. Cause we had our talk about legacy cost.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So they made some billion-dollar sales worldwide. They made a lot of money this year worldwide, 2017. So they're like, look, we're going to pay y'all off the 2017. Don't worry about nothing else. Instead of, that's right. Instead of a dollar on your wage for the next 30 years or the next 10 years,
right.
Give you $11,000 right now.
Yeah, watch you grin.
Man.
Grin and spin.
Give me $11,000 in my pension.
Yep. That's it.
They say in 10 years it's going to be worth this if you keep it here.
A lot more than what your grin is.
Yep.
No doubt. So we're at 28.
Yep, 28 says you won't be able to file your tax return on a postcard.
Yeah, that's about streamlining. You know, it says we're going to reduce the paperwork that's required, but it's not going to be so simplified to where you can do it on a postcard. Okay, you might put two pages,
front and back.
Yeah,
you in and out.
Those forms are going to be revised too. So again, that remains to be seen. The biggie,
oh yeah, this the one that every company is loving. It said the corporate tax rate is coming down. The corporate tax rate has been cut from 35% to 21% starting next year. The alternative, so this is in this year right now, the alternative minimum tax for corporations has been thrown out altogether. Earnings are expected to go up as a result. It's about to go a result. If I can go from 35 to 21, that's 14.
It's almost half, man. Almost half.
Yeah, that's half.
That's what I'm saying.
Because half of 35 is 17.
Right.
Man. So I got a 50% gain.
That's right. Corporations just got almost a 50% raise in their profits.
I'm about to make millions if I got a corporation.
That's why the GMs of the world, the Walmarts.
Get you a feel-good check.
Been giving out these bonus checks because they just had a windfall in the corporate tax.
Man, I would love to be on that board. You know what they check going to look like when Christmas comes time? Y'all going to see it. It's going to be like $21 million. He gets a check from being on a board president, $200 million. Yep. Watch. Just wait till you see those checks come out. I've seen it happen in the past when they had this little system when George Bush was in. So it's coming back with a big check. Like, how you get a check that big? All he did is sit and hit a hammer and made some decisions and made a monthly meeting.
That is the biggest change of his whole reforms in taxes is that number 29. That is the one that is most impactful to America and the corporations that do business in this country is the 35 to 21% tax rate. we as working folks won't get a tax break that huge.
Oh, we won't. I wish we could. I wish we could.
Pass-through entities will also get a break.
Number 30, the tax burden by owners, partners, and shareholders of S-Corps and LLCs and partnerships who pay their share of business taxes through individual tax returns has been lowered via 20. Okay, that's all.
Deduction.
Yeah, 20%. The legislation includes a rule to ensure owners don't game the system, but tax experts remain concerned about the abuse of the provision. That's me.
It's me.
I'm LLC. Let me find out when I sit down on my account. I will say 20% is a pretty good number.
It's pretty good. 20% deduction. 20% deduction.
So to break that down a little bit more, let me.
Well, lower via 20% deduction, which says that I don't know where we were at prior to that from a S Corp LLC partnership. I would assume it had to be closer to the corporate tax rate, which is 35.
Yep.
Okay. So corporate tax is now at 21, and now we're at 20% as corporations. So I'm going to assume that we were somewhere in that 35% bracket. So whatever you got, whatever left over after you paid all your bills that you considered income is what that number represents. So, but if you did, you know, you took a loss in a business, then the number doesn't affect you. But if you had a great year and you, you know, your profit was 100 grand and you paid taxes of 35% before on the 100 grand, now it's only 20%. So you're going to pay taxes of 20 grand plus the 35. So you would have paid the 35, now you're at 20.
That's good. That's good, too.
Oh, yeah.
That'll help me out.
We'll take it.
I got all my W-2s on the table or whatever, yeah. 1099s.
You're working on mine, my tax man is waiting on me. It's not March yet.
That's how I am. I'm March, too. I still got a couple collect.
31, not all CEOs think that they'll use their savings to create jobs. Just 14% of CEOs surveyed by Yale University said their companies plan to make large, immediate capital investments in the United States following tax reform. Capital investments like building plants, upgrading equipment, can spur hiring.
That's right. They're taking that money and putting it back.
Well, yeah.
That's called capital. That's what you're supposed to do.
Capital investment.
That's three ways you're supposed to do your dollar. You're supposed to charity, save, and capital investment. 30% out of every dollar. Did you say 70? 30% go back. 10 go back in your business. 10 go to charity. 10 go to savings. So they doing that. Like, look, they got that big break, that 14%. They about to make it happen. That's so now they like, look, I got really 24% instead of my 10.
Yeah.
And I'm keeping this 10. And I got 24% to put back in my business. I can go get another company car because now I got 14% more.
Cash flow.
There it is. The cash flow is better for the business, so now I can buy this property, this yacht, this car, this plane. Everything can be expanded. Like you said, they don't have to go in their bank account no more.
Oh, no. We just gave them a bank account.
Yep.
No doubt.
What's that, 32? Plus the way multinational corporations are taxed is about to change. The U.S. is switching to a territorial system of taxation, which means companies won't owe federal taxes on income they make offshore. Ooh, he looking out for them.
Oh, yeah.
To help the transition, companies will be required to pay a one-time low tax rate on their existing overseas profits, 15.5% on cash assets and 8% on non-cash assets, like equipment in which profits were invested. Bring it back to the States.
He helping them all out. Multinational corporations get a tax break, too.
Bring it back to the States and look out. I'll look out for you. That's what he basically saying.
Yeah, because you know.
He hitting everybody else with tariffs.
Yeah.
He knocking them out the box. Yeah,
the South Koreans. And
yeah.
Those kind of folks. But the Russians. Okay.
Oh, him and his friends.
Yeah. He built some fabulous hotels.
Hope the KGB ain't listening to this station. KGB. Come give it to me. Like he's talking about us.
Yeah. We talking about you guys.
Yeah. The Cold War. Y'all went to the Cold War. Y'all back. Y'all got money now, boy.
Cold War now is being fought with money.
Yes, it is.
Weapons. Okay. Yeah. 33, by the way, there's provision to rein in executive pay at nonprofits.
I see.
The legislation includes a new 21% excise tax on nonprofit employers for salaries they pay out above $1 million. That may mean some well-paid executives at nonprofits take a pay cut.
I got a friend that's a nonprofit CEO. Okay. He don't make over $1 million. He makes some.
Red Cross, United Way.
Yeah.
A lot of these companies that, disaster relief type companies, where some of those guys do get huge paydays.
Yes, sir.
Trump administration said no more. Not happening.
Let that money go to the absurd of people, though. That's what I'll be looking at. I'm like, how you get all that money and you not doing nothing? I mean, you're doing something, but you're not. Like, you really deserve all those millions. So that's, and some of that money donations, too,
now. Nonprofit, now remember.
Yeah.
The purpose of a nonprofit is to help those that are in need that can't provide for themselves. So why do you need that much money to run a nonprofit?
You're right.
But the last one, and we'll do our scriptures and call it a night. Number 34, businesses won't be able to write off sexual harassment settlements.
Man. It's
been in the news lately.
That's right.
A lot of money paid out. Even our president was
45. Say, look, I ain't. 45.
They said 45 paid out.
Yeah. So you can't write it off on your tax claims now.
It says New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez, a minute born of the Me Too movement, made it all the way through. Companies can no longer deduct any settlements, payouts, or attorney fees related to sexual harassment if the payments are subject to non-disclosure agreements. In other words, if it's hush money that you're paying for these suits, can't write them off no more.
Yeah, man.
It just comes out of your bottom line profit. So that's it. Oops.
All right, what I got today, it's not long, but it's in depth. It says Proverbs chapter 23, 1-9. And it says, while dining with a ruler, pay attention to what is put before you. If you are a big eater, put a knife to your throat. Don't desire all the delicacies, for he might be trying to trick you. Now, the point of this proverb is to be careful when eating with an important or influential person, because he or she may try to influence or bribe you. Unwary meetings over meals can lead to undermining convictions. No good will can come from such meals. Then verse 4-9 says, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it will all sprout wings and fly away like an eagle. Then it goes on and says, verse 5, it says, we all have heard of people who have won millions of dollars and lost everything. Even the average person can spend an inheritance or a paycheck lightning speed and have little to show for it. Don't spend your time chasing fleeting earthly treasures. Instead, store up your treasures in heaven, for treasures will never be lost. And 6-9 says, don't eat with people who are stingy. Don't desire their delicacies. They are always thinking about how much it costs. Eat and drink, they say, but they don't mean it. You will throw up what little you have eaten, and your accomplishments will be wasted. Don't waste your breath on fools, or they will despise the wisest advice. In graphic language, the writer warns us to envy the lifestyle of those, to do not envy the lifestyle of those who have become rich by being stingy and miserable, and not to gain their favor by fawning over them. Their friendship is phony. They will just use you for their own gain. And that come out the book, Good for Nothing, Trust God with the Least.
All right.
And it's scripture that we just been breaking down. Just for the audience, today, we coming at you at all angles about the money, the taxes, the sports, and you're trying to be local. And we're just trying to show you that, hey, we're a helping hand. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.